I'm Julie Tatchell.
And I'm Amanda Middleditch.
You might know us as the Bear Ladies.
Or maybe the Teddy Bear Ladies.
Or sometimes Two Bear Ladies.
Oh no. Or the Teddy Bear Doctors.
Or simply Julie.
And Amanda.
But there's so much more to us and we've
barely begun.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the sixth and final podcast in this series.
I can't believe we've done six.
I know. Well, we said we would do six initially, didn't we?
We did.
And here we are.
And can we remember why we said we were going to do this first six?
To see what people liked, what they wanted us, you know, sort of for feedback, really, and see where we were going to go with it.
And to introduce ourselves to people, perhaps another side of us that they...
Didn't know.
Maybe probably don't want to know.
Rather not know. Yeah. But I can't believe we've got to the sixth one. We will do more.
Yeah, definitely. But I think we've got a better idea of where we're going now.
Yeah.
So we're...
We'll take on board some of the comments that people have given us, and obviously welcome more.
Yes.
If people are prepared to...
I think a lot of people want us to do hints and tips, but we found that's really hard to do that, to vocalise that. So I think maybe that could be something we'll do in the future, do it live, you know, do like we did the Instagram live.
Yeah, we did the live Instagram, which people seem to really, really love. And we will be working our way up to another one of those. It was so exciting.
Wasn't it fun?
It was such fun.
We
were absolutely exhausted after that, weren't we? It was so exciting.
In fact, we got it working.
I know. And when people started to comment and things, and we knew there were people there, actually. It was just, we'll definitely do another one of those.
Yeah.
But yes, I think trying to do a demonstration and offer tips when you're not visual is really quite difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
So I think but we're happy to answer questions on things, you know, should anybody have them, just send us a message or a private message or whatever via Instagram. That's absolutely fine, or Twitter.
And that might prompt us to do an Instagram live.
Yes, it very well might.
So get your thinking caps on.
Yes. So what are we wanting to do tonight?
I think we should talk about we've done where we came from, sort of our beginnings and things like that. I think we should talk about where we are now.
That would be nice.
Who'd have thought 4 years ago that we would be part of a TV programme that's on primetime BBC?
Yeah.
And we'd have a makeup coach coming in.
Oh, yes. What fun. That was so good. Now, before we carry on with this story, I do want to just put it out there that it wasn't because it was decided we all needed seeing to.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe.
I think they were very tactful. It was at our own request.
Yes.
Because we are... All of us, not just myself and Amanda, women of a certain age, but we still care what we look like.
Yeah,
and we are getting our heads slowly around the fact that we are in a lot of people's front rooms most nights at the moment. And it matters what we look like.
Yes.
But what everyone has to remember is that we do a long day in a barn. And it's either freezing cold...
Or very hot. Nothing in between.
Yeah, so we just asked.
It's not a glamorous life.
No, definitely not. But we asked the powers that be if we could just maybe have some tips on how to at least make it our makeup last. And so we're going to start looking absolutely beautiful when the new series comes up. But anyway, they were great. They came up trumps and sent a delightful lady to us called Gemma.
Yes.
We all had to go in individually, didn't we, with our makeup bags.
Yeah, and discuss problems, things that worry us. So what was my list? dark circles,
ooh,
but not
dark
so
circles.
Much. You, all ladies, I think, start to get darker circles around the eyes.
And
but I always felt mine was sort of inner eye. They were a bit weird, more like a panda me. I sort of get them all the way around.
That's quite appropriate, really, isn't it?
Get them all the way around. So she helped me to deal with that. And also, really good tip, ladies, if you wear glasses and you have trouble filling in your eyebrows, you have to put your mirror on the table and look down into the mirror, because that way you can see over your glasses, still wear your glasses and get your eyebrows straight.
Marvellous.
I know, it was fascinating, wasn't it?
It was fascinating. I think we had all had similar, I'm not going to speak for the other ladies on set because it's not our place to say, but I would say that we all had similar issues, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Puffy eyes.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have problems with puffy eyes.
Yeah, it's first thing in the morning.
Gosh,
did
yeah.
you get those little fishy things to put around
no,
your eyes?
No. Fishy things? I want fish on my eyes.
They were like little whales.
They were cute, but no, I had to choose, didn't I, between two, and I opted for something else.
Oh, you didn't get the fishes?
No, I didn't get the fishes.
Okay.
They were whales, actually, not fishes.
Okay.
I know, now I know what you're talking about. But yes, I have a little rogue puffy bag under my eye.
Oh, my Muttley laugh came out then.
Puffy bag. That little tiny one that puffs up toward the end of the week when I've had enough sleep and the day's been too long. So, yes, I've been recommended some under eye gel patches.
That's
apparently
fine.
All the TV makeup artists use them.
I don't need them.
Thanks.
Well, she didn't suggest them for me.
Well, you don't really get puffy eyes. I get puffy eyes. Don't forget, we've got quite different complexions.
Yeah, we have. You're pale and sort of delicate, aren't you?
Oh, I am a delicate thing. I've got see-through skin. Oh. So all my veins show.
We conjured up quite a picture of us first thing in the morning.
It's not good.
It's me with my panda eyes. Even though I've taken my makeup off, I look like a panda. Judy's got a rogue bag. What is it? Puffy bag or something hanging down her face.
It's not difficult to keep the looks going. And especially during lockdown. Mm. We are very much looking forward to makeup and hair salons being open.
Yeah.
But I actually think, no, joking aside, it was really helpful. Mm. Gemma went through our makeup bag. She didn't say, oh no, get rid of that, or oh no, you mustn't wear that colour. She more listened to what we were asking, didn't she?
Yeah.
And offered suggestions when we told her what the problems that we had were. So, but the main thing, actually, we tested that today. Have you tried it? The main thing we had to get was fixing mist, which is after you've gone through the whole palaver of putting all your makeup on, you set it with this misty spray, which actually was really rather nice.
It was rather nice.
Supposed to keep your makeup there for 16 hours.
Well, we'll find out when we go to take it off tonight. We'll just chip our way through the layer.
That was really
of
nice.
Illuminating and covering up and whatever.
It is difficult, isn't it, to stay, you know, looking. I mean, we're not super glammed up TV presenter type people. We are just doing our everyday job, but on camera.
Yeah.
But we still care what we look like, and I think
Absolutely.
It's important to do.
It makes
what
you feel good, doesn't it? If you feel better in yourself, then I think you work better and you
Absolutely.
Feel better about yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
More confident, and that
definitely.
Helps a lot.
Yeah.
So the tips, ladies, if you're of our sort of age group, is illuminate everything
and blur
and blur,
illuminate and blur,
and then spritz, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it. So that's Julie and Amanda's top tips on makeup.
Yep, that's us.
But no, it was lovely. It was nice that they recognised that we, you know,
it was
wanted
really
a little
nice,
bit of help, and it was fun, but. Yes, we did look, we all trooped in, didn't we, in order, looking like we were going to be told off, but it wasn't like that at all.
That was really nice.
It was very, very nice and kind.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it was nice. It was great. So, what's next then?
Well, I think we're going to go back in time.
Back into the mists of time.
Batty?
Oh, well, yeah, there's that as well.
In time to when you wrote a book.
Oh, okay. So, yes. No, I'm glad you said that because we do get asked an awful lot about how we came to be on the repair shop. And, you know, it was quite an amazing thing to happen to us. And we absolutely love being a part of it. But I think what amazes both of us continues to do so even after 4 years, is just how like what we were doing before.
Yeah.
Before the idea of the repair shop came up, before we were approached by a production company, you and I were doing this very thing for people, and we understood the sort of
the philosophy behind the repair
shop.
Thank you,
the philosophy,
fitted us perfectly.
Absolutely. And when we got the initial call asking us if we wanted to be a part of it, our main concern was that it wasn't one of these very artificial, glitzy, slightly fake, which is fine because those shows have a place, but we didn't want to be a part of that. If we were going to be part of a TV show, it had to reflect our own philosophy. And that's quite a difficult thing to decide to do, because your initial thought is, let's get on telly.
We've always... one of the things that I love about the repair shop is there is no mention of money or price or value.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we've always said that you cannot put a price on sentimentality. There is no way you can do that. And I think that was one of the things that struck us initially about the repair shop was we were looking at what matters to people.
Yeah.
Because that both is very important to both of us. Is the way that people get pleasure out of those items, and how if we can give them something back that is stronger and going to last, you know, a bit longer.
I mean, taking it back to our earlier podcasts in this series, when we were talking about how initially we met because you came in, you were making your own and designing your own bears, and you came into the shop, could I sell them for you? But quite quickly, it became obvious to us that people just wanted what they'd already got fixing.
Yes.
And having been they'd either been turned away by other restorers because they were too dirty or too tatty or all of those things, which in our mind is wrong, because we always recognise the importance of the item, not whether it was how much it was worth monetarily, but very quickly that became...
Do you remember, I'm going to mention an item now, see if you remember.
Okay.
Do you remember a thumper rabbit called Jimmy?
Yes, I do. Belonging to a little girl.
Yes.
Yes.
He was one of the first major restorations that we did. And he was in shreds. Literally in shreds. It was like putting a jigsaw puzzle.
Used to be the mother's?
Yes, he was the mother's. Yeah.
So he'd already got age to him, hadn't he?
Yes, and, you know, really, it was a labour of love. It really was. It took absolutely hours to do. But that little girl was so happy. I can't explain. And she used to bring him back, didn't she, to visit. I mean, she's grown up
She'll
now.
She'll be a grown up, yeah. She will, oh my goodness.
Because she could, you know, she's probably old enough to have a child of her own when you think about it. So Jimmy could be going on to another generation, which is just amazing that we were able to do that, because he really was at the point where he wouldn't have gone any further. So for me, things like that make it all worthwhile, just seeing the pleasure that you can give to somebody if you can make that really special item live on.
I can remember never quite being able to understand why, if someone was prepared to pay to have something mended and was desperately seeking, I mean, obviously I'm talking about when we were in, you know, in the shop in the early days, not on the repair shop now. I'm talking about it from a business point of view.
Where we started out.
I could never understand if someone was so keen to have something done and prepared to pay what was required to have the work done, why would anybody turn that away? And we just never could quite get our heads around it. And we've fixed all sorts of things.
We have.
There is always something that can be done. Penguin,
we really didn't know what he was.
No,
he just
was so
looked
funny.
Like a little slug, didn't he?
He looked like a slug. And we ended up making him a complete bodysuit and popping him inside.
We did, but he had no flippers, no feet, no beak. He was just this.
The main thing is
slither of a penguin, but he looked
slither of penguin.
He was a slither of a
stingy biscuit. But I can. I always feel that as long as you say to whoever's bought their sort of loved item to us, we won't be able to do this, but this is what we can do, and it's not going to be a shock then. What they see, and it's been agreed. You know, why wouldn't you do it for somebody? I just don't know. And I think that that's where you and I have stood out slightly separately, perhaps.
Yes.
And I think that's why the philosophy of the repair shop has really
worked for us.
Really worked for us. And it's just been such a blessing to be able to stand on that platform that is TV and show
and you know what else,
the world what we can do.
Absolutely. But what else I find an absolute blessing is to be in the company of the other experts who share that same ethos.
That's the thing. Everybody, even though we'd never met before the filming started, when we've sort of socialised and sat and talked, everybody has that same
goal.
Yeah.
I'm finishing your sentences.
You are.
Again.
We've been together too long, Amanda.
Yeah, we do. We all have that same goal, and it is to get it right. To get it right for that person.
Yeah.
And, help them mend a little bit if we can, because I think that sometimes that's what's needed.
And we've struggled. The other thing is we've struggled for many years to find a way to pass on our knowledge.
Yes.
And believe us when we say we have thought of it all. Books, videos, all
round
sorts
in
of
circles.
We do. We go round and round in circles. And we have trained one person fully from scratch. So we could say we've trained an apprentice type way.
And now we've got another young lady who's working her way up. So we want to pass on our knowledge.
We do, but we cannot work out how to do it. And being able to be on a TV program that demonstrates just a tiny bit. And we know from the response that we've had from people that even some of the lesser things, such as cleaning, and very important for the item, but not difficult to learn. It just takes a little bit of confidence, a little bit of know-how, and we've had comments from people saying, I've cleaned my bear, or I've cleaned my dog on wheels, or whatever. It looks amazing. I'm so glad. And that's all they've done, but it's just...
Yeah.
And it's a delight for us. So that's, I think, why that... And aside from that, the fact that we're hoping there are people watching, younger generation, who might say, actually, I could do this. I'd love to do this, because it's not just about the sewing, is it? It's about the history behind all of it. So, but I think,
I was going to say, but taking it back to your book.
Yes.
Before we get carried away, Julia's going to share a story with us that she wrote back at, 2011?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I've looked back on my laptop. And we shared, you may remember, we shared Barty's Christmas in our Christmas podcast. And thank you to everybody who made such lovely comments about that too. Now, I started writing, putting those little books together. I think it's got to have been around 2008, 2009. And I remember writing, you know, just suddenly feeling... Do you remember I used to say, oh, I can feel a book coming on?
Yeah.
And, or a story
would happen,
or something.
And I'd say, oh, I can feel you.
Yes.
Julia's going to write a book about this.
And so I would say it was probably between 2008 and 2009 to about 2012, something like that, 2011, 2012, something like that. So these stories are long before we were
on the repair shop.
And this particular story, which is one of our favourites, I think, isn't it?
I
it's
like
called Dear Old Albert. And it sums up what we're doing now. And I just think it's
remarkable that you wrote it all that time ago, having no idea
absolutely
what we would be doing.
And I think it just proves to everybody that we've always carried that same ethos.
Well, I'm going to get comfy.
Yeah, you get comfy. You like this one.
I do.
You haven't
do.
Heard
I'm
this one for a while.
I'm going to get comfy while you read this. I suggest everybody else get yourself comfy.
Yeah.
Cup of tea and all that.
It's not that. I was going to say, it isn't a very long story.
No, but you've got to be comfy for a story.
I'll do my best. I'm not brilliant at reading stories, but I'll do my best, and I hope you enjoy it. It's called Dear Old Albert.
Actually, before you start.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll try not to butt in too much.
Okay.
But we do sometimes picture Albert on our Instagram feed.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So people might...
They might do,
especially after this.
Yeah.
They might.
A picture of Albert might have to go out again.
Yeah.
He won't mind.
Okay. Here we go. Since Barty came to live at the shop, there have been lots of visitors. There are people who come often, such as Harry, who keeps the village tidy, Zip, the friendly bee, and Mrs. T's daughter, Little Boo. Sometimes the people who visit are on holiday. They pop in to say hello and tell the bears where they have come from and what adventures they have been on since they arrived. But one day a visitor arrived who was quite different. News had spread that poorly, old or damaged bears could come to the shop and find help and care. They might just need a clean or perhaps a hole repaired, or perhaps a new eye or a new ear. All are welcomed, and Barty lets them stay until they're ready to go home. Of course, this means that there are always plenty of new friends to make and lots of tea parties to be shared. On one particular morning, the postman arrived quite early. Barty watched him through the window as he struggled up the pavement with a very large box. Mrs. T had seen him too and rushed to open the door for him. "Goodness," she exclaimed, "what have we here?" The postman carried the box into the studio, placed it on one of the tables and left. By then, Barty was already up on the table, having been unable to contain his excitement. Sanderson had chuckled as he watched the little bear jump down from his viewing position, scurry across the shop and up the table leg before the postman had even closed the door on his way out. Barty couldn't quite see over the top of the box. It was longer than it was tall, but he had to stretch high on his little fuzzy tiptoes just to reach it. There was nothing on it to indicate what might be inside, so Barty tapped the box and pressed his ear against the cardboard sides. He could hear a faint rustling noise from inside. "Hello," called Barty softly. "Is there someone in there?" By this time, Mrs. T had started to remove the sticky tape that was holding the parcel closed. She opened the top and folded back the flaps to get a good look. "Barty, please move," she suggested. "I know you're interested, but you are a little in the way." Barty came out from the now dark area he was investigating and climbed onto Mrs. T's shoulder. Rose had arrived and the three of them peered inside. Barty loved Rose as much as he did Mrs. T. She was such an important and special part of the shop because apart from being a friend, she was the person who was able to sew and fix all the bears. Mrs. T first removed a letter addressed to the proprietor, which is another name for the shop owner. Next, there came a layer of packing peanuts, those squishy little foam pieces that always spill everywhere when you try and get things out of their boxes. Barty loves playing with them. Finally, they heard a deep sigh from inside, and there they found a large and very handsome old bear. Barty gasped. Rose and Mrs. T squealed with delight, and the bear said, "Thank you," in a deep and slow voice. Although the visiting bear was very handsome, he was also very dirty. He only had one eye and carried one of his legs in his paw. Teddy bears don't hurt when this happens. It's more of a nuisance, really, and they're just happy to have them put back on. Anyway, he was given a reassuring hug and carefully put down on one of the chairs. Barty scrambled down Mrs. T's back and went to introduce himself to the bear while Mrs. T opened and read the letter. It was quite long. It explained that the bear was a bit of a surprise. He had come to live with his present owner when the old lady to whom he had first belonged had died. His new owner had become quite fond of him, but knew he needed more care than she was able to offer. As a result, she had decided to carefully pack him in a box and send him to the shop. "It looks like you'll be staying with us for a little while," said Rose, and with that she attached a paper band around his wrist and with his owner's name on it. "Do you like chalky buttons?" asked Barty. The bear was unsure if he'd ever tried them, as his memory wasn't always very good. Barty didn't seem to mind. He went to the cupboard to find some for him anyway. "What is your name?" he continued, handing a pawful of the tasty treats to the slightly bewildered old bear.
"Albert," the bear replied, "and thank you."
Popping the buttons gingerly into his mouth, partly because he could only see out of one eye and partly because he was a little unsure, he sucked until the little drops of chocolate melted on his tongue. He thought they were very yummy. And so began another new friendship for Barty Bristle and all his companions. Albert stayed at the teddy bear shop for quite a long while. Do you know, it took a whole day just to clean his lovely mohair fur. His eyes were so rare that the new ones had to be ordered from a very special place that made glass teddy bear eyes. During his stay, he spent most of the time resting. He was very old, nearly 100 years in fact, and now he liked to take life a little more slowly. He particularly enjoyed sitting on a high-backed chair next to the pond with a blanket around his knees. The younger bears would gather at his feet and listen while he told them stories of when he was a youngster, how he had come from a factory in London where some of the best British bears had been made, and how he was given as a gift one Christmas to a little girl who went on to treasure him throughout her childhood. She had shared her parties with him, sat with him on her lap when she was on the swing, and put him on her bed when she had to go to school. Later, when she was all grown and had left home to be married, Albert had gone with her, and when she had her own little girl, he had stayed and watched over the baby, keeping her safe. Albert never talked about how he came to be quite so dirty and damaged, but later Sanderson explained to the other bears that it was probably just from all the love he had received over the years. He was just getting old. When all the work had been finished on old Albert, and it was time for him to return to his home, there was much sadness. "Do you have to go?" asked Barty. The other bears were also gathered around. Little Ted was scratching Albert's ears for him, and Sanderson was cutting cake.
"I think I do," replied the handsome old bear, "but I would be happy to stay here forever."
"Let's ask if he can stay," suggested Little Ted. "Oh, that would be wonderful," agreed Heather. "We can look after him and keep him warm and feed him chalky buttons forever," added Barty. With that, the little group of bears set off to find Mrs. T and tell her what they had decided. Mrs. T was talking on the telephone when they found her. She flapped her hands at them to ask them to keep quiet while she was talking and then jigged about with excitement and impatience. At last, Mrs. T finished her conversation and leant on the counter. "What's the matter?" she inquired of the eager little faces. Sanderson was the first to speak. He coughed to clear his throat and began. "We, the shop bears," he announced, "would like to let Albert stay here forever." "And we will look after him and feed him cake," added Barty. "And I will scratch his ears whenever he wants me to," squeaked Little Ted. Soon they were all talking at the same time, and Mrs. T had to call for hush. "I have noticed how attached dear old Albert you have all become," she started, "and Rose and I feel the same way too. So I have just been speaking to his owner, who has said that he can stay with us here in the shop." There was a loud cheer. Mrs. T smiled and then went on to explain to them how he would be able to continue telling his stories to anyone who wanted to hear. I bet you can't guess what happened in the little bear shop that night. Pop in next time you're passing by and ask Barty. He will tell you all about the party they held. In Albert's honour, might have lost the last page, in Albert's honour, to welcome him properly to his new home. And if Albert hasn't fallen asleep in his chair, he might even tell you how many slices of cake he ate. The end.
I love that story.
Do you like that?
I love that story every time. It might, you know, I know you wrote it with children in mind, but it kind of sums us up.
It does.
A little bit silly, like that they, you know, but they do come to life.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's silly about that? And I just don't know what you're talking about. It's perfectly, perfectly natural.
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I'm glad that we've shared that with everybody.
Yeah, because it does, it brings it all together.
It does, it does. It just shows where our train of thought was going back then.
Even all that time back then, yeah.
Yeah. Story time with the teddy bear ladies.
How about that? Yeah. Wow.
Could be a thing.
Oh no, here we go. I need to learn to read a bit better then, don't I?
I'll give it a go. Or we could do one with vocal parts.
What, singing?
No, where you revoice the character.
I thought I did quite well
you
then.
You did, but Albert sounds the same as every other bear that you put.
He didn't.
I went like that for Albert.
That's rude. Well, you can read the next one.
I'm feeling much better now.
I didn't say that.
Without all that stuffing in my tummy.
That was a different thing.
Yeah, but it's not like going that.
Well, I think we're just being a bit rude.
No, I don't know. It was very nice. And I didn't nod off. I was good, because having a story read makes me a bit sleepy.
So. That was a little bit longer than the Christmas one, so I hope people haven't fallen asleep. But so where are we going? Where are we going now?
To have some dinner.
Well, I was sort of thinking more from a podcast point of view. Oh. We will be back.
We will be back.
With a new series.
Yes.
Still to be decided.
Yes. And we will...
Yes.
Yeah, we will keep you informed on our ukulele.
Progress.
We're not quite brave enough yet.
We were doing quite well till we resumed filming, yeah. And we're not brave enough to practice here.
No, but I'm really quite... Please, my baby, little lovely teddy bear. Doing all right on that one. Three chords.
As long as it's only got three chords,
we can do it.
Well, maybe.
I'm like your money today. I don't know.
Maybe by the time we next do our the next podcast, we could maybe play our own introduction. How about that?
Now there's a thing.
Well, that's some. Thought to leave you all with, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's time we were going now.
I do too.
Over and out, dinner time and all that. We've done a long day in the barn. We've been in the barn all day filming.
Yeah, we have.
Now we're doing a podcast.
But thank you so much for listening and putting up with us. And hopefully we'll be able to bring something fresh in our next series.
Yeah, definitely. And we're so thrilled that you've all embraced this idea of us just sat here rabbiting away like two silly old women that we are, just being ourselves. And it's just lovely that you've all, sort of embraced that and are enjoying it. So, yeah, keep sending us your comments. Let us know what you think. And
look after yourselves and all stay well.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'll hear from us again soon.
You will.
See
you. Bye.